Hello, my name is Claire Boynton, and I played young Nancy in The Silent Spy, and you're listening to the River Heights Buzz podcast.
And I will emphasize that you are listening to the River Heights Buzz podcast. My name is Ken Boynton, and I played Carson Drew, and I also in real life play Claire's dad.
Ken, welcome back to the podcast. And Claire, thank you for joining.
Of course.
Thank you. Nice to see you again. And it was fun last time, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've chatted. So it's, you know, yeah, here we are. And welcome, Susie. You're joining with me with questioning tonight. So
yes, I'm so excited. I have a whole list on my phone of questions.
Okay. Great. We're ready to answer any and all of them, or none of them, depending on how it goes.
They're ready to be like, okay, bye, and call.
Just blank stares right at the frozen screen.
Nancy, who? What?
Yeah. I would like to start off with you, Claire, if that's okay.
Of course.
Just, you know, are you interested in the voiceover industry, kind of like you're assuming father, daughter, the two of you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you interested in the voiceover side of things, Claire, at all?
I definitely am interested in it. I have no idea how to dip my toe into it because, well, I did a lot when I was younger and I really enjoyed it. Especially there's always snacks at the voiceover studio, which is awesome.
Best.
But yeah, the best. You have to. The bowl of M&Ms, the red vines, like all of it. But I don't know. I feel like he's so good at marketing himself and, like, you know, just networking and meeting people and being confident in himself. And I'm not really, like, there yet with myself. I feel like I'd be like, yeah, you know, here's my audition, but if you don't like it, it's fine. You know? It's, like, not that great. So I don't know if I'm there yet to, like, put myself out there in that world. And I know it's also very, like, celebrity infested right now. So I don't know how much they're looking for, like, new talent. But I mean, I'd love to get back into it. I loved it when I was a kid. And I think it's so cool. So
Ken, do you give any advice to Claire, like, if she does, you know, like, especially when she was younger? Kind of with that kind of thing with voiceover?
We did for when I was doing a lot of it. I had clients and people at studios would call and say, hey, can Claire come and do something for us? And so we went in, and then a couple of things when auditions would come up, you know, we'd go ahead and record something in the home studio and send it in. And so it was sort of an easy kind of thing. I never wanted to force it. I always found it super fun, but the business side of it is really hard. And especially now, I mean, now the best way to really proliferate a voiceover career, I think, is to do a podcast. So people hear you all the time and get a sense of who you are. We're going to do a podcast together. So that might be Claire's in.
Yeah. We've been meaning to start it for a while, but just, like, talking about boomer stuff and Gen Z stuff, not to, like, out him as a boomer, but I mean, 1958, that's right in the middle. So, but
I don't think it's fair, but that's where I land.
Yeah, I remember when it first came up, probably in high school, and I'm like, you're a baby boomer, and he's like, I'm not like those people. I'm like, you're in the middle. So
we thought we have our URL, we've already reserved boomzy.com.
Oh, and that's so cool.
Yeah, and as soon as we, you know, sort of get to recording some of them, but that idea of you know, Claire will break new ground for things that I've not heard of, or that maybe I have heard of, and then we'll discuss them. So it'll be kind of fun. And if that's it never goes anywhere, it'll be really fun for us.
Yeah.
That's all that matters, right?
No. Exactly.
Yeah. That is so cool. So Claire, Can you tell us a little bit more about the voiceover work that you have done? You said you did some more when you were younger.
Yeah, when I was a kid, there are some that I don't remember, but I have the recording. Like, was it Darigold?
There was a Darigold one, Derry. That was a regional Derry.
Yeah.
In the Northwest, there was a bank. There was a regional bank that.
I remember that was that we had my classmates. A couple of my classmates did it too, and it was like, what was it, a penny?
You had a line about finding a penny. I found a penny.
Yeah, they wanted like a nasally child. So
the funny thing is, because Claire's always been really articulate and well spoken, even, you know, as a very young kid. So the stuff that she did do when we'd go into the studio, they'd ask her to, you know, can you sound younger and can you talk worse than that? So you have to dial it back and have, you know, less diction or less accurate pronunciations.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple where I'm like, I'm doing like all the speech impediments. So it's probably like, you know, so they're encouraging that. But
that speaks to your talent that you can do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, and children love to imitate, so you know, I always would imitate my dad, and he's doing, you know, million voices all the time. So definitely picked up on that. And I just remember a lot of times it was cool to be in the booth and to hear yourself say a line and hear yourself say it wrong and catch it before they caught it and be like, no, sorry. Like that was not right. And do it again. And like, see if you could catch the feedback before it happened. I think that was the most fun part for me.
That's really interesting.
It's goofy too that, because I studied dialects and I used to do a lot of different, you know, video game voices in different dialects, and Claire was like, I can't do that dialect. And I go, well, you just pronounce the word this way. Like we were talking about a piece of cake in Australia, a piece of kike. And just by spelling it differently and seeing it and not thinking of the accent, but just, and so, and then Claire started doing an accent that I could never do. It's British, but it's the clenched teeth one that,
right.
And that are starting.
Right. Yeah. Never open the teeth.
No, they never come apart, the teeth. They stay together. And I wish that I'd had that in my wheelhouse when I was doing a lot of characters.
I did not know that came from me. I did not know that came
from me. Yeah. You came time. With the still teeth that killed me. It's funny, too. It sounds, and it forces you to not use, like, THs very well because, you know, the lips can't come together.
That's just incredible. I wish I had this talent.
It's so, I mean, he's got a million voices in his repertoire. I'm hoping that, like, with age, it will come to me, which has happened with a few things. Like, I think when I was younger, I couldn't do a lot of voices, but they, like, slowly come in. So, you know, one year at a time, I'm just going to try to absorb more.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Do you practice a lot or...?
Riffing.
We tend to riff a lot when we go somewhere.
Yeah.
Hanging in the car and both doing Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Trying to do Will Sasso's Arnold
Schwarzenegger. Not well. I mean, we're getting there, but not well. My poor stepmom, she's like, okay, honey, you know, you can call Claire and do that voice with her. But yeah, things like that.
Yeah, that's fun. It's fun for us.
Yeah.
It's fun for us to hear. I love it.
Do you hope to, you know, obviously continuing with the voiceover kind of thing, do you hope to work on a project together at some point in the future? Not just, you know, like you brought up the podcast, but like an act something other than that?
It'd be cool.
We've sung together a little bit. It's been a long time. We both have, like, I have a lot of friends in the performing arts profession, and there's a thing that borders on obsession where you have to do it and it makes you great at it because you put it above everything else. And I never quite got that because I like to do lots of different things. And I think Claire's kind of the same way. So we don't like yearn to perform or yearn to do something together. But certainly if, you know, when we start working on Boomsy, and it could lead to who knows what. I mean, you know, we get along well.
Yeah.
We have fun together. So yeah, it could be anything.
Yeah, I totally do.
And Claire's a really good writer, and she won a playwright competition.
Oh. Really?
It was a long time ago. I was 16, but yeah, we had to write plays for class, and then they submitted them for us to the Young Playwrights program, and I didn't expect to win at all, but it was really cool. I got to work with a director and a cast, and it was really cool.
They staged an evening of them that, you know, of all the ones that were chosen, and it was.
And they were really cute too. Some of it, they had like, they picked from every grade. So I was a sophomore, but they had like a kindergarten play and just like super cute, you know, about like dinosaurs and flowers. Oh. And, like, really cute to watch and just see like, or hear like a young mind, you know, like, you know, the gears turning, and oh. It was really cute.
What was yours about?
It was about a British couple where the wife had gone away to Scotland and started this affair with this like super stereotypical Scottish guy named Angus, and then returned home and Angus wrote her a letter. So I had like one of the actors come on, like, you know, spotlight on him, read this letter, like, meh, you know, I love you. And her husband,
I'll live without you. Yeah.
And her husband finds the letter before she does, and he reads it, but he's like kind of sheepish and timid, and he's like, oh, like, I wasn't supposed to read this, she'll be really mad that I opened her mail, so I'll just write this guy back and let him down easy. And then the guy like doesn't give up, and then the husband and the Scottish man like start this correspondence where he's pretending to be his wife, but he's like slowly falling in love with the Scottish man. So then at the end,
so like, funny,
they meet in this, and it's kind of a sad ending where the Scotsman is like, I don't know who you are, you're not the woman I've been writing to, and the husband's like, no, it's me, like, it's been me the whole time. And anyway, so that was what it was about.
Wow, that sounds like dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where it came from. I'm like, wow, I was really like thinking about some powerful themes.
Seriously.
That was our first question. Like, what made you think of this?
I don't know.
Just wrote it.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, I mean, it sounded really good. I would have watched that.
Yeah, it was fun to watch too. They got pretty good actors, and yeah. And the director did a nice job with it. It was the audience was definitely, you know, hanging on what was going to happen, because you could see that confrontation coming, and, you know, so that it created a lot of tension.
They had a super great actor for the Scottish guy too. He had the perfect like overblown Scottish accent that I wanted. So
I love that.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's so cool.
It was a cool experience for sure.
That kind of leads me into my Nancy Drew kind of questioning now.
Yay. Well,
what was it like? Obviously, Claire, you were the young Nancy, in quotes, in that game in Silent Spy. What was that experience like for you?
Honestly, it's hard for me to remember, but I'm sure that it was awesome. I remember playing the game a lot. I'm not sure if it was Silent Spy. It must have been, though. But, like, you're in, like, a cabin. I just remember you're in a cabin, and there's, like, a snowstorm. And it was probably super awesome for me. I loved the movie. As I said before, like, I loved the Emma Roberts movie. I always wanted my life to be exciting like that. But I had a really great childhood, I'm super grateful for, but because of that, like, it was really comfortable. So I was like, no, I need more like adventure. Like, where's my Nancy Drew experience? Where's my mystery, my murder? But ultimately, this spared me a lot of trauma that I didn't live. the Nancy it's Drew lifestyle.
Probably better for you.
Yeah, exactly. Let's be real. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But and
also, Alexa, when we talked before, this it's that weird thing of where, like, you know, it represents the game that you guys play and love ends up, you know, it represents like an hour of my day many years ago that I went in and voiced it completely out of context with no artwork or anything. And which is how Claire, she goes, I don't, what if I don't remember it? And I said, they'll just ask you questions about it because they remember your performance. And so feel free to prompt away, because that's, yeah, it's always helpful to get back to that moment.
And it's so cool to hear about, like, I think it's so cool. I did this one point and click game called dark something, the wax museum. It was about a wax museum, and I found a playthrough of it on YouTube, and it just so cool to like hear the lines that I, you know, to hear that again. So yeah, totally prompt me, let me know what I did. It's awesome.
Have you ever considered going and like playing the game again?
I would love to. Yeah, I just got back into playing video games. My partner just moved in with me, and he's got like every console. So
perfect.
Yeah, exactly. So I would love to. I love that kind of a game. And yeah, I feel like it's good for my brain, you know? It's like it's very engaging, and I remember really enjoying playing it when I was younger and getting stuck at a lot of points that I wonder if I would still get stuck there.
It's very possible.
Yeah, yeah.
There's probably more online that you can find to help you, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm
yeah.
thinking.
It'd be really fun to go back now, because then it'd be like the playthrough you watched. So, hey!
Yeah, it'd be really cool.
Because your voice is very different. I think one of Claire's college friends was in town, and I played a couple of recordings I made of her a long time ago. And in my mind, it's just Claire doing, you know, these songs she made up. And then I thought, wow, she really sounds different. That is definitely a little tiny kid.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it'd be a big stark difference to go back.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like my voice was more nasally back then. How old?
Well, you were a child.
Yeah. So it's okay.
Yeah.
But what year, do you know what year The Silent Spy came out?
I think 2013.
2013. Okay.
That sounds right.
We would have been 12.
11, yeah, you
12
did it
in the recording.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it would have been probably 2011 that the session was. Mm-hmm. So that's, you would have been 12.
Yeah.
It's half your life ago.
Yeah, 13.
Wow.
Years ago. Yeah.
That is so crazy, but also so amazing.
Or
like
not 13, something. Yeah, 13.
Like
years
now
ago.
You're in your 20s, and you can go back and like experience that again and be like, oh, wow, I did this when I was a literal child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Like a much smaller scale of a child actor's experience, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's really cool.
I would love to go back.
Like father, like daughter. That's my mainstream acting career too. Boop, these three movies and that one show.
Yeah.
When you went in for that recording, did the both of you go in like the same day, or did you have to go in for separate days, recording sessions, that kind of thing?
We would have definitely been.
Yeah, we went in the same day, and I do have a memory of because at Clatter and Din, which is one of the studios in Seattle, and I was in the control room and Claire was in the studio, and I just remember it being both sessions. I remember being really quick, like they got what they wanted right away. It was a good director, and you know, like, oh great, okay, we're done. You know,
I do remember them talking about the game too, and they were super excited for it to come out, and I remember them telling me about it and talking about her interactive and their goal, and I do remember that and like getting really excited about that. And you know, you're like sort of coming into girlhood at that age, so it was like a cool, I remember getting excited about the game.
That's so neat. How did you guys get involved with Her Interactive? Or I guess, Ken, you came in first. How did you get into Her Interactive to work with them?
Oh, it was years ago. Different person was running the company, and I got involved on a, it was more of a sort of messaging project, because mm-hmm. our company is called Message Glue. And at the time we had a different corporate name because it was a publishing company I started a long time ago. And it was the CEO of Her Interactive that I'd brought up that we had just found and secured, you know, all the Message Glue dot everythings, and we were going to use it for a specific service. And she goes, "No, you should change your company name, because now I can tell everybody what you do with two words." And so, yeah, so I'm always thankful to her and to Her Interactive for that shift over. That was in 2010. So, and so I did some projects, and I think she asked at one point, because she knew that I had done a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And at the time it was a pretty small part in the first one. And so, you know, would you come in and do Carson? And I said, sure. So they had, you know, they could go online and hear my voice in various things. So, you know, the producers were like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah. Well, you were in some pretty iconic games. I mean, at least iconic in the point and click world for people who were really young at the point when those games were coming out, like mm-hmm. Freddy Fish and Pajama Sam and, you know, all of those.
Yeah.
Spy Fox games.
Yes.
You were in all of those. Mm-hmm. So you had done quite a bit in that world. So I assume they were like, oh my gosh, we've got to get this guy to do a voice for us.
Yeah. And I had been at that point, I had done two or three of the Halos.
Yes, Halo, Destiny.
And then Destiny came mm-hmm. later, I think. Well, actually, yeah, Destiny came, I can't remember when the first one was. They were, I mean, those are really the two big mm-hmm. companies that I would name at Bungie and Her Interactive, because of what, you know, Megan did at the time for mm-hmm. me from a business standpoint and getting to play Carson.
Yeah.
And Bungie, I auditioned for and got in the very first game, and they always brought back the people who were in the first game and found mm-hmm. a role for them, no matter how small, and paid us double scale because that game had launched them into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
It was such a cool thing to do. I got to talk on their 10-year documentary that they did. I said, it's just like, as a voiceover person, that never happens. Like, you just get kicked to the curb when they get the new voice to do whatever. And no one ever even necessarily tells you you're not it anymore. You know, mm-hmm. you just don't get the call. So just to find that role, no matter what it was, and even when new people came in, the last remaining guy at Bungie, the last time I worked there, the guy who came in from LA said, I have no idea who you are. And the guy from Bungie said, this is Ken. He's been in every game we've ever done. We always find a role for him. And he goes, okay, fine. And then we did it. And he goes, oh, okay, I guess you're okay at this. And but then that guy left. So I don't know that there'll be any more Bungie games.
Yeah, and now they're owned, or Halo's Microsoft.
Yeah, now, various things got bought and moved, and, you know, nothing ever stays the same. You just get good at it, will change, so just roll with it.
So what was your experience with working with Her Interactive, like, in voiceover work? Like what, how was your directing with that, and how was working with other voice actors?
Well, I didn't really, I mean, typically when you voice a game, you're all by yourself because mm-hmm. those files are all separate.
Sure.
So the director is hearing the other person, and occasionally they'll play you, like they played me some of Nancy's lines because I think they'd already recorded them and said, this is the response we like. Can you kind of tailor your inflection of the question mm-hmm. to match that? And I'd done it a lot. So I'd usually give, like, you know, the same line three or four or five times, however many, each mm-hmm. time a little bit different, so that they could pick the one that matched. Mm-hmm. But the thing about Her Interactive, because some of the games, like when you're Halo, I had to do, you know, a million dying sounds.
Yeah.
You die, this is a quick death. This is a longer death, you know. But with her interactive, you have that great, rich Nancy Drew storytelling. So, and I'm a dad and I have a smart daughter. So it was always kind of, I wouldn't say necessarily the easiest acting job, but it was some of the most rewarding stuff that I've done, because I got to just really kind of live in being myself and what I know really well. And then they were very clear. They always have good directors. Mm-hmm. So, and they were well written. All the lines were, you know, I write too. So that was kind of a downfall sometimes when I'd have to read something where the writing was iffy, or I'd accidentally correct it and then go, I'm sorry, I think I read that. And they'd go, oh no, actually I think that's grammatically correct that way. You know, the things, you little sneaky things you do. I never had to do that with her interactive. It was always just clean, easy, clear, direct. And that makes it fun, but then it's over really fast and harder to remember. It's like, it was very pleasant and it was gone quickly. So,
yeah, I feel like they're very careful with the Nancy Drew story. Like they just have a lot of care and love for it. And it's, you know, obviously that's reflected in the writing and in the gameplay. And, who wouldn't love the story? So,
yeah,
that's nice too. They weren't sloppy with it at all. So
that's so good to hear. And you seem to have really resonated with the character as well, which makes it just that extra step above, you know, like for us, we can tell when we're playing, we're like, oh, they like felt it. If that makes sense.
Oh, that's a really lovely compliment. Thank you. Yeah. That was the easy part. I think the very first time, it was that session, that your last one, where they did some little promo thing for YouTube about playing Carson. And that was the first time that I'd said, well, yeah, I have a really smart daughter. So, you know, and I care about her well-being. So it's kind of, you know, in the zone. And I remember talking about that at that session a little bit to somebody with a video camera. But it was that, and, you know, also going in, like the people I played in Halo, they were, you know, characters nobody knew before they appeared on screen, but the Nancy Drew iconic characters, you know, you feel a responsibility to be respectful and really give it your best shot.
We appreciated that as fans. I can tell you for sure. It's definitely, like, nobody has ever been like, oh, they just didn't do a good job on that. You know, like, I've never heard anything like that. Like, we've always really respected your work as Carson. And I mean, I feel like people tend to prefer your work as opposed to like the previous guy. like when we think of Carson, we think of Alibi and Ashes Carson. We think of Silence by Carson, you know, like that's who we think of. Mm-hmm. Even though, I mean, me, Alexa, most of the fans, probably at least half of the fans, grew up with the games and therefore saw those other characters first, but then yours kind of lasted. And you've also been in more than any other Carson. So,
oh, cool. I didn't know that. Wow. That's cool. I love that.
Yeah. So, and you're in the new game, right?
I'm kind of the step Carson. is there a new game out?
Not yet.
I think I signed so many non-disclosures when I record that I don't know. Now I don't. Okay. It's hard to remember the session, and how long ago it was. But I would think there'd be a new game at some point. So hopefully, I'm in it, is my feeling. I never take it for granted until it's released. I mean, even stuff that, you know, like there was a show that filmed up here called Northern Exposure.
Oh yeah,
it was about, like, it ran for 6, 7, 8 seasons. It was a really successful show. And I was in one episode of it.
No way.
And super cool. I was so excited about it. And then I knew the guys at the studio where they did all the sound sweetening. And I went in one morning and Peter, same guy who owned Clatter and Din, I came in and he goes, buddy, they cut you out. No. And I went, what? And it was a small part, and it was a three-part joke and I was B. They cut out the middle. And but they left me in for Screen Actors Guild said 18 frames. So that's a little over half a second. And I still get paid for my Northern Exposure appearance and in the deleted scenes on the DVD. So
hey.
And that's why they have the union.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yep. And those checks are now like 20 cents or usually less than the postage stamp.
Yeah. That must be just so heartwarming when you receive one of those.
It's cool because I did a bunch of Bill Nye the Science Guy too. And so I get a, you know, it's the same company, Disney Buena Vista, that sends the Northern Exposure and Bill Nye. And it's usually, I don't know, last year I think it was $9.07 or something. So it's cool to go, hey, look, I'm an actor. But it's so I never like if the when the game comes out, if I'm in it, then yes, I'm in it. That's the way.
Yeah.
Everybody I know who, and my wife is an actress as well. And we have that disease where we're like, I'm not going to count on it until it is right in front of me or a contract is signed or the game is there or the show airs. And I went, that's my face. So,
yeah. Well, there was a video that Her Interactive posted on their social media, I want to say last April. So almost a year ago now, that you were in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure you're in it.
Oh, voice in the studio voicing.
Yeah. Something?
Oh, very cool.
I gotta
yay.
Yeah.
Then I say, awesome. Oh, yes, hopefully. I'm in that promo video anyway. So
yeah. You did something.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, and I don't know anything about the rest of the process. I just, you know, they would write me an email and say, would you do this? And I say, yes, of course I will. And anything that continues beyond one time is a gift. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they, you know, put me in the promo and they seem to like that father-daughter relationship, you know, that's a gift. So yeah, I hope I'm in there.
I hope so too. It's been really dynamic and we really appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Team Ned or Team Frank?
Ned. Always Ned.
Good. That's the right answer.
I have a soft spot.
Ken, nope. How about you? If Nancy were to get married, who would you want to see her get married to?
Well, Claire's good judgment. I'm going to go with Ned. Then I'm going to say, but Ned was played in the movie by Max Thurio, right? The guy from Seal and now Fire Country, which is really not a very good show. So I might have to rethink it.
No, but I'm sure he's the star.
He wouldn't be Ned anymore. Yeah. He's grown out of his Nedness.
I just love how like sweet Ned always is and like and caring and you know, yeah, that's my I'm Team Ned.
Based on that description, Team Ned.
There you go.
And my final question for the both of you is because Her Interactive and the games have been going on for over 25 years. So what is it like for the both of you to be a part of this? All these projects and things.
That's so awesome. I mean, I didn't even know that there was such a community behind it, but it's so awesome. And like, I feel like, oh, that's so cool. And I have like the IMDb credit and I feel like a little star. No, it's just cool. And it's such a cool thing to be a part of, like just, you know, growing up with the books and that movie. I just love that movie so much. And it's just fun. Like, you know, also just wanting to have more mystery and like excitement in my life. But then knowing that like I was like a part of the lore or whatever, you know, the stories. And it's really cool. I didn't know that it had been going on for 25 years. That's crazy. That's older than me. Just by a little bit.
Yeah, that's... I did not know that either, since it was in the aughts, I think, when I first met and worked with Her Interactive. But I, you know, I feel the same way. Like I said, if it, anything that repeats is a gift, and to be part of something that is so iconic and so much a part of our culture, and you know, young women like you who are excited about it and resonate with it and found value in that, that I didn't give you that. Other people created it. My performance was a tiny little piece, but to be a part of something that creates that kind of goodwill and excitement and, you know, drama and, you know, good feelings in your tummy kind of stuff, that's really humbling. I think it's, you know, it's hard to ask for more than that. So,
yeah. Well said.
Well, that's all the questions that I've got. And Susie,
do you have more on your phone?
Let's see. All right. So Ken, have you ever had a character or like a voice that you've done that you just absolutely hated to do?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yes. And it was my own fault. I auditioned years ago, was for a CD-ROM kind of learning game. And my audition was a voice that was easy to do. It's sort of like this guy right here. But it's hard to keep up with. And the guy said, according to the new union contract, I have you for 4 hours. And he kept me for every minute of those 4 hours doing lines over and over again. And I just had the worst headache ever. And I was like, I've never going to audition for anything with a voice that I don't want to do for a long period of time. It's like in Wayne's World, the movie, Dana Carvey played Garth, you know, the sidekick. Mm-hmm. And he famously says he played his brother because that's exactly how his brother talked. But he had to put his, I don't do Garth, but he had to put his mouth and his jaw a certain way. And he said on those long days on the set, he would get so sore. And, you know, taking ibuprofen and, you know, rubbing his jaw. And like, so don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
Make sure. But that's the only one that I ever really felt like I was scared sometimes with all the dying, because I finally got to the point where I'd say, if I have to scream, let's put it at the end.
Mm.
And I did find out after playing a pirate one time that if I drank chocolate milk during the session, that it was no problem to, you know, have something.
Because it was like kind of phlegmy.
Because you could grind on the phlegm instead of your own throat. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of
milk. Yeah. Milk brings forth the congestion.
Yeah.
So.
And I go for chocolate because it just made me feel better about myself.
That is so great. But like, what a hack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one if you, like, I have friends who, you know, one guy I sang in bands with for years, he could scream, like, the screamiest scream ever singing, and Raspy Greg.
Yeah.
And he just go right back to, you know, nothing. Everything, yeah. Voice is fine. I do, you know, rough it up one time, try to get some sort of a scream going, and then I'm like, okay, I can't talk for 2 days.
Yeah. My husband tells me that there's like a method for that. He's really into like metal and like, you know, he's like, oh, well, the screamers, they're trained, you know, they can do this for long periods of time because they know exactly what, and I'm like, how is that even possible?
I know. It's so impressive.
He's totally right. Remember the guy?
Yes.
We did a job for a software company and one of the developers was explaining exactly that. And I have a little video of him talking about how it's really just classical music, but the placement, remember Alex, last time we talked about like where you put the voice, and I think I did the Beatles for you guys at my friend Pat Fraley in LA was a way he explained placement, like nasal placement, hard palate, back of the throat, and then soft palate. And watching this guy sing and turn these beautiful musical notes into this dark, earthy, scary sound, but it was still, you could hear the music in it, and it was the best explanation ever. I should try to find that and share it with you.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. We We were all, we're sitting in a bar at the end of the day, just going, oh my God, please let me video you so I can show my daughter.
It was just like you said, like he could, he will go into it and then just be talking completely normal. Yeah, I don't know how people do that. Or like, I really love horror movies. So like, you know, women like Mia Goth, like her screaming. I mean, she just sells it. And yeah, that's such a skill. I mean, I would be like you. I couldn't talk for a long time after that, but.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate milk.
It's a skill.
It's the chocolate milk. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. No, I remember, like, as a kid, like, watching movies with my family, and my dad would be like, they hired her because she can scream.
Yeah. It's a skill. You don't think about it as a skill, but it's, yeah.
There's a great old movie that, I think John Travolta was in it. He played a sound man, and there ended up being like this serial killer and thing, but he needed like the perfect scream for this horror movie, and he couldn't find it. And he listened to a whole bunch of people trying to audition, and then ended up that at the end, he sadly used the scream of his girlfriend who the serial killer had killed. That was a bleak movie. Brian De Palma, who made really like horrible, bleak films in the 80s and early 90s. Wow. But it was like, that was a good scream. And yeah, you could walk away going, didn't really kill her. She's an actress. She had a good scream.
Yeah.
She got to get her check and go home.
Yeah. Not real. Not real.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. My last question for you guys is, could you tell us a little bit about what you guys do outside of voiceover work?
Well, I'm a waitress currently. Just started doing it. Never thought I could do it. It's kind of like acting. Actually, it's a lot like acting. you have to act like you love the public.
It is an acting job. I used to be a waitress and I totally know what you mean. I had a waitress voice. Do you have a waitress voice?
Yeah, well, I'm building it. I just started doing it not long ago. So sometimes I'll catch myself like, well, there was one time I caught myself just saying, what do you want? I was like, okay, I need a no, can't do that. I mean, definitely I have my script, like, you know, oh, are you still enjoying this? You know, mm-hmm. Oh, let me take that out of the way for you. No, it's no worries. I'll take that off the bill, you know. So mm-hmm.
You should try the, are you enjoying the fritters? You're like another order.
A bit too loud. Yeah, I don't know. So I'm just a waitress right now. It's not a lot of hours a week, and it's good pay, and mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think one day I might go back to school. I was thinking about doing like a counseling degree.
Oh,
I have
cool.
A degree in sociology, so I was thinking about doing like a master's and getting into that, but I think I'm not quite ready to go back to school. I'm still having those intense anxiety dreams about not attending lectures and then having a final. So,
oh yeah, totally understand you there. I'm a college dropout, so like,
yep, yeah, yeah. A lot of my friends dropped out. They're like, no, I'm not doing that. So totally get you.
Those dreams never go away.
Mm-mm. I know, that's the thing. So I don't know if I want them to be. I'm having the server nightmares too. So
I just need a break. And those never go away either.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm just adding on to the nightmares, but so that's what I do. And I like to spend time outdoors and running, and I have an old cat, and I like to give him medicine and prolong his life. Yeah, that's what I do.
That's wonderful.
Can't even come close to topping that answer. That's a good answer. I am very fortunate that I get to work with my wife. We met a little later, and we went, oh my God, you're my person. This would be, you know, hoping my whole life that I would meet, and never thought it was possible. Mm-hmm. So we said, let's build a company around what we do so we can work together as much as possible. So that's the start of Message Glue. And mm-hmm. We help, Anna's a coach and helps people all over the world to just feel more comfortable when they're presenting their ideas. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of writing for companies and helping people get their story straight, you know, and find the interesting stories that are in their companies that they can tell to each other or to their customers, or that help motivate people and inspire people. So
that's really wonderful.
Yeah, it's really fun. And sometimes occasionally I'll write a script for a video or something, and then I'll read it to a client and they say, well, would you do the voiceover? Because you kind of seem like you read it pretty well. Okay, sure. I happen to have $1,000 microphone. I can do that for you.
That's so great.
Yeah, this guy's been around a long time, but it adds about 25% masculinity to my rather reedy vocal register. Gives me a little extra low end.
It's better than this $50 thing I got here. So
it sounds great.
So. Yeah, you guys sound great. And
thank you.
Claire's on a 58, which is the classic rock and roll mic, which is why all of her answers rocked completely.
Wonderful. So do you have any hobbies like giving cats medicine or?
Yeah, there was a lot of giving medicine. We lost our little dog we had for almost 15 years right before Christmas. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I had a dream about him last night and woke up.
I dreamed about him
weeping in the dream, and I woke up.
I had the same.
And then I went, I'm not crying but in real life, but I went back to sleep and then I was crying again in my dream. Yeah.
I had the same experience last night where I was weeping and I woke up and I was like, I wonder if I cried in real life, but I don't think I did.
Yeah.
That's so weird. But last night too.
Wow. Yeah. Three times last night. And I told Anna about it a little bit, and I said, I don't think I can recount the dream without just kind of falling apart. But we just, you know, he was a part of every second of almost 15 years. So we have another dog who's 12, and Lily is, you know, she's very chill. And I play some guitar, and I like to write, and I'm always looking for creative things to do. But right now we're doing a little DIY bathroom remodel.
That's fun.
And it is terrifying and exhausting, but it's pretty fun.
Here's a little picture of our dog. You don't have to look.
Oh, no, go ahead. I can. There's the boy.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah. He was an Irish Jack, they call that breed. It's not a Jack Russell, but they look fairly similar, but they have short legs. And they were the ones that the hunter would carry along on the horse and then put down, and they go into the hole and pull the rabbit out.
Oh, that's so cool. Just the Jack Russell's better cousin.
Yeah. Shorty Jacks in Ireland, they call them shorty. A Shorty Jack or a Puddin' Jack. I love a Puddin' Jack. That's our little Puddin' Jack there.
That is so cute. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they're
Yeah, he was the weirdest dog. I mean, I think we've ever met. He was super strange but wonderful.
Yeah, we miss that dude. Yeah. Because he wouldn't leave you alone, so you always knew, you know. And working from home the last 4 years, you know, on lots of Zoom calls with clients, and you'd feel him staring at you. Like, I want to do something. I don't know what it is, but you figure it out.
That's how my cat is. My cat is always with me. I'm a streamer, and he's always like in my lap, and people are like, oh my gosh, it's Salem again.
Salem is so cute. The black cat.
Yes.
Oh, great.
I had a black cat growing up named Blackie.
Oh,
it's a creative name.
Black cats are the best.
They are. They are the best. They're super chatty. I don't know if your cat is super chatty, but
he will talk.
Yeah.
He will talk to you. Yeah. Oh, just
and
the
Kit's
greatest.
Black and white.
So. Yeah, I have a tuxedo right now.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a tuxie growing up.
Yeah, they're the super strange as well, but the best.
And cats in general.
I know, that's so much personality. So
yeah.
Alexa, do you have any pets?
No, I don't. I'm actually allergic to cats, surprisingly.
You could get a hypoallergenic cat, I think.
I know that there's hypoallergenic dogs that are out there. So that's always like a possibility, you know, maybe some point in the future. Just not sure when that's going to happen, but you never know.
Yeah, there are people I've known too after a while, depending on the cat. sometimes it's the, like my father-in-law did little shots of bee venom till he could tolerate and get over his bee allergy. And I think they can sort of do that with cats. The last animal that broke my heart before Caper, that was our little dog, was Ticker, who was a very weird, amazing kind of half wild tabby cat who tore lots of pieces of my skin open.
Came out of the street and he chose this house because it didn't have a kid in it, and then I was born, and they always tell me that he would try to steal my warmth. So here from the other room, I'd be in my little bassinet and they'd hear and then they'd go in the room and they'd see his little ears sticking out of the bassinet. He's just stealing all my warmth.
There's a really rattly
process, but
it was a rattly bassinet, so when he jumped in you'd hear tucka tucka tucka, and then you go over and you could see the little Batman ears up, and you go, you cannot lie on her face. He's like, but she's so warm. We're like, no, you cannot murder the child. And then he'd give up and he'd leave her alone. So
such a cat thing. Oh my goodness. Yeah, my 2.5-year-old loves to torture our cats.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So fun. But
that's a great age for cat torture too. Because it's like that keep coming. Yeah.
Yeah. I have one that's a really, really little cat. And he was like the runt of his litter or something. I don't know. But he's really small. And my son, who is also pretty small, thinks, oh, perfect, I can pick this one up. Salem is huge. So he does not attempt to pick him up. But he'll pick him up and he'll take him around the house with him. And I'm just like, oh, this poor cat.
Has cats Liam are surprisingly ever picked up? Patient.
Huh? Oh, what were you saying?
I was just going to ask you, Susie, has Liam ever tried to pick up the smaller cat and carry him upside down?
Oh, yes. He does it all. He also will pick him up by his tail, which is the worst.
Oh, yeah.
And just this afternoon, he was dragging the cat around by the tail, and I was like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But the cat takes everything in stride. He's such a darling. Like, cats are great. Most cats.
That's what I was going to say. Like, cats are surprisingly really patient with human children. I think they understand, like, that it's a baby that they that they can't, like, claw or bite, like, even if the baby is. I think they get that it's not malicious intent.
To kill you when you can't sit up, but then once you're moving, they give up and tolerate you.
They're like, oh, you could probably hurt me.
Yeah. And you and Ticker got along well.
No, he used to sleep on my chest in the morning.
Yeah.
Before.
I was the only one that he bit.
Like, he would bite me, but he bit you a lot. He bit you hard. Bite like, me hard. Draw blood.
And he grabbed on to bite my arm. I was sitting on the couch with Anna, and I'd pet him for a while, and then he'd go, now I bite you. And he grabbed a hold, but it was Anna's arm. And as soon as he grabbed it, he stopped, let his claws receded, and he got up and just walked slowly away.
Oh,
he couldn't have seen the difference, but he'd like, nope, that's not the person I injure. There he is.
Cats know.
Yep.
Yeah. Cats just know. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, love them. We love the animals.
I love it. Big, big cat person over here. So I love this conversation. But we have, like, totally hijacked Alexa's podcast here. I'm sorry, Alexa. No, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I think we're kind of tag teaming, I think, Susie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, we got this.
Where can both of our listeners follow you if you have any kind of social media presence?
I don't have much of a social media presence, but my Instagram is just my name, Claire Boynton, with an extra E at the end of Claire. So, like, Claire E. Boynton. And then I have a TikTok.
Excuse me.
And I have a couple weird videos on there, but I don't remember what my username is.
Is the TikTok the same?
Boynton Claire 8 is my TikTok. So
wonderful.
Nothing crazy. I think there's just videos of my cat on there, me being weird.
I think I still have a Twitter, which is I refuse to call X.
Yeah.
So does everybody else. So it doesn't really matter. I don't do a lot of posting though. And I'm on Facebook just by my name. Because I'm old and I'm on Facebook. And every now and then, because I do have a little bit of a filmmaking background, I think I should figure something out with TikTok, but we'll see. We'll see if that day comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Claire can teach me how to use it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert by any means, but.
But your videos are funny. So
oh,
that's what I need. Some of them. Magic.
Some of them. But, yeah.
Maybe that can be a very special episode of your podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
We
yeah.
could have like boomsy, TikTok. Boomsy idea bouts on mm-hmm. TikTok real quick. Introduce the topic and then
mm-hmm.
and the smackdown comes later in the podcast.
Yeah. There yeah. you go. Or like a YouTube style, like, you know, you make a TikTok on the podcast, like the process of making it could be funny.
Oh, yeah.
That would be cool.
Maybe we will do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You should.
Thank you.
We'd love to see it. You're welcome.
Okay. Episode one.
So when we get Boomsy going too, after, we.
Yeah, then we'll probably.
We hope that we can count on you both to be a guest at some point.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Cool. Yeah.
And I'm a millennial though, sorry.
No, it's good. We'll bring in the millennial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay if a boomer. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
It's okay. You have my email, so whenever, you know, and I can always get in touch with Susie too, just to
great
coordinate all that kind of stuff. So.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Cool.
Yeah. If they let a boomer on it, millennial can come on there. So
thank you.
Yeah. And then I have a younger cousin who is I think I'm like old Gen Z and he's really like young Gen Z, like cusp Gen Z alpha. So he could come on too.
Sam.
Mm.
Yeah, 2009 is that
it's Gen Z still. Well, 2000 I don't know. The alpha, I don't want any like actual generation alphas because I don't understand them yet.
What, you don't want my 2-year-olds?
No, actually, that could be a great perspective, the 2-year-old perspective.
Yeah.
You know, he has a lot of words.
That's great for a podcast.
That's real.
Give him a mic.
That's a fun time when the words are coming out in all sorts of different ways.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I hear so many things and I'm just like, where did you get that?
Can I give you my advice a parent gave me?
Yeah.
It's too late for the first one, which was there will come a period when your child is 8 months old when they can sit and have fun doing something and not crawl or move. And he goes, that is a moment when parents can go, I can do something else. And he said the phase lasts days and then they're moving. So that was the first one. But the other one was basically related to that is that each of those phases, like mark them well with your record keeping because they go so fast.
Yeah.
And even 4 years of high school and 4 years of college, like I go, well, Claire's going to be in high school now for 4 years. That's a long time, 4 years. It seemed like it flew by. So
yeah,
there's something about it when you're focused on the child, it just time speeds up. So enjoy every minute.
Oh goodness. I am trying. He's growing so fast. Like it is so crazy to think about how I'm like, I was just pregnant. Wasn't I was just pregnant. That was 3 years ago,
yeah.
You know? And then I look at him and I do these videos on my Instagram, like some reels of him. I put a picture on the screen and I say, hey, Liam, what is this? And he tells me, and his little, you know, his words are just so cute. And he says it in a little, his little lisp, you know, and it's so cute. But I was watching some of those back today and I was like, he doesn't talk like that anymore. Like he talks like a child now. He doesn't talk like a baby anymore, you know? So I'm like, I don't even know if I can make those videos anymore because he is out of that phase. It's so wild how quickly it goes.
Yeah. Well, you make new and different ones. And then in less than 22 years, you'll just do a podcast together like this.
Yeah.
There you go.
Claire, you're talking so good. Amazing.
I love it.
I practiced for today.
your words are good words.
Oh, so great. It is so wonderful to see you guys working together. And also, it has been just so lovely to meet you two, especially as a person who has been a fan of the games for 23 years.
Wow, that's so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been really wonderful to get to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we both feel the same. It's just it's an honor to do it. And it's so cool that it's, you know, affecting lives and exciting people, and that they're all about actual good things like learning and being curious and all the qualities that as you move through life, they're good to have.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much. It was really, really fun.
Thank you guys.
Thank you both.
Yeah. Thank you both so much. And Ken, it was nice to see you once again. And Claire, it was nice to meet you for the first time.
Yeah. Great to meet you as well.
Well, if you need anything else, let us know. If some amazing piece of audio blew up and you'd like a retake, we can do some voiceover if you need it.
Yes.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.